Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by His diverse potencies everywhere. Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by His unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord, and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place or pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura, who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narad, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. And what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of the holy dam. Bhavadvitha bhagavatas tirtabhutas vayam vibho tirtikurvanti tirtani svantastena gatabhrita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Om agyana timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha itanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasari gaur bhaktavrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, this pastime, it ties in with what we were recently discussing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the Lord, he took bath in the Ganges thinking it was the Yamuna. And then when he came out, he saw Advaitacharya. And the Lord realized, wait a minute here, I thought I was in Vrindavan, and here's Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya is like, this is the Yamuna, he said. In other words, you are in Vrindavan. This is the Yamuna. And he gave two reasons. One reason is because the Yamuna and the Ganges, they merge, the Triveni, and then as it flows, the western side is the Yamuna and the eastern side is the Ganges. But he also said, to me, Jahan, say Vrindavan, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So this is the essence of what is the Holy Dam. The Holy Dam is a geographical place for sure, but as it's clear from this particular purport, the reason the Holy Dam is holy is because the saints have been there. And not only do they create the Holy Dam, but they also keep the purity of the Holy Dam when people come and offload their sins. So it's said that if you bathe in the holy waters, the sins get accumulated. But then when a sadhu comes and bathes in the same water, then the water becomes purified. So Narottam Das Tagore says, Darshani Pavitra Koro E Tomaragun. He first of all says, Gangara Parasha Hoyli Paschati Pavan. The Ganges purifies after a long time. But just by seeing the sadhu, there is purification. Now, if you study the songs of our acharyas, you'll often find statements which match up with Bhagavatam statements. So in the 84th chapter of the 10th canto, does anyone know what this chapter is? We're not really meant to learn numbers, I guess, so it doesn't really matter if you don't know which is the 84th chapter. It's when the sages at Kurukshetra met Krishna. It's when the Yadus met, the Gopis came as well, they spoke with Draupadi, the queens of Dwarka spoke with Draupadi, and this big gathering during the solar eclipse. So when the Lord came, the sages were assembled, and the Lord started to glorify the sages in front of them. There they are, and he's saying wonderful things in glorification of the sages. So one of the things he says, Nahyam mayani tirtana ne deva mritschila mayaha te punantjuru kali na darshana deva sadavaha. That the rivers, the holy rivers, they purify, and the deities, when you worship the demigods, they purify as well. But uru kalena, after a long time, however, darshana deva sadavaha, just by seeing the sadhu, you get the same result. So it's instantaneous. This is the power of the darshan of the sadhu. So I think that relates to what Narottam Das Thakur was saying, that Gangara Parasha Hoyli Paschati Bhavan, the Ganges purify gradually, however, Darshani Pavitra Koro, E Tomaragun, the Vaishnav, just by seeing instant purification. And there's another famous verse from the same chapter, and I'm going to ask Sutapa to recite it, because I think he'll know it. It's to do with, it's very much related to the purport. Actually, anyone can recite it if you know. The purport was saying, when you visit a holy place, you shouldn't go and seek to bathe in the waters. You should seek instead the sadhus and hear from them. So there's a famous verse that Prabhupada often quotes in connection with this. Anyone like to offer? From the 84th chapter. It's very much in the same mood. Yashatma buddhe kunape tritatuke swadi kalatradeshu bauma jadi yatirta buddhe salile nakarhichich janeshwa bigeshu sae vago karaha. Even this, the Gokaraha means Kauranas. So it's strong words from Krishna. What is he saying? Well, it begins, Yas Atma Buddhi Kunape Trida Tuki. The body, especially the dead body, is called Trinu Kunape. Kunapa means a dead body. And it's made of Tridatu, Kapha Pitta Vaya. The elements, everyone who knows Ayurveda, they know about these elements that pervade the body. So if you think, Atma Buddhi, that is me, then you're a cow or an ass. Svadi Kalatradeshu, if you think, this is my wife. Or if the ladies think, this is my husband. We have to be fair here, equality. Then you're also a cow or an ass. And Yatirta Buddhi Salile, if you think the holy place is the water, that's what it is, then you're a cow or an ass. And if you neglect to find the sages, Janeshu Abhigyeshu, what does Abhigya mean? It means very learned in transcendence. So if you neglect them, yeah, Janesha Vigeshu Saeva Gokaraha, then you are Kauranas, you see. So we have to understand what makes a place a pilgrimage. It is the sadhus. So we have to seek the sadhus. So I was mentioning several weeks ago, when Lord Chaitanya was dancing at the Rath Yatra, he was in the mood of Radharani, and he said, Anyara Ridoyamana Moramana Vrindavan Mani Vani Eka Kori Jani, that for others their mind is their heart, but for me my mind is Vrindavan. So this is very, psychologically this is very true. Your mind is your heart. So what is in your heart, that's what you think about. There are certain drugs, you know, sometimes people have espionage, you can give someone a drug that makes them speak the truth, right? So we hide what we're thinking a lot of the time. And actually it's probably just as well, because sometimes we have thoughts that aren't very nice, not very flattering, and we hide them. In a devotee community, it's a good idea if you have a nice thought, then you should speak it. And you have a less than nice thought, it's better that you probably don't speak it, because it'll have repercussions. It's nice that we don't speak. Words cannot be withdrawn. Once you speak words, then so much trouble. So much trouble in the world comes from uncontrolled speech. So in devotee communities, we should make sure our speech is positive, and we should avoid negative speech. We should avoid cynicism. There are acharyas over and over again, they say, you should see a devotee, faults of a devotee are like spots on the moon. You know, so the moon's very bright, there may be a spot there, but it's best that you don't really focus on the spot. And if you focus on the positives, what you find is the devotee will actually start to like you, because you're focusing on their positive things, you're saying nice things to them, and then they start to reciprocate, and then we have a nice community. And if you do the opposite, then you can end up with the opposite thing happening. And it can even get into fisticuffs, but very rarely, not in our community, but very rarely. I have known situations where that has happened. Actually, this community, I find it's very nice. I honestly can say I've never actually heard anyone swear in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I've been here 10 years, and I can't remember anyone ever swearing. I mean, some devotees probably swear outside Bhaktivedanta Manor, but not inside. But that's nice. We should keep a nice atmosphere. So I'll mention chapter 84. That's an example where Krishna's glorifying the devotees and how the devotees are tirthas. Now, this word bhuta, tirtha bhuta, right? Bhuta is kind of a word. I mean, I once tried to learn Sanskrit. I didn't quite manage it. But I get a rough idea what it means. Bhuta sometimes means platform. Like the Brahma Bhuta means the Brahma platform. Tirtha Bhuta would be similarly one who's on the platform of being a tirtha, like that, you know. So there's another example in the first chapter of the 10th canto. Sadevaki sarva jigan nivasa, nivasa bhuta nitaram nareji. Bojendra gehehi, shikeva rudha sarasvati jnana kale yatasati. This means Devaki. She's got an interesting name in this verse. It's a compound word with five words in it. Devaki is described as Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta. The word Bhuta at the end, you see. So Nivasa Bhuta means being on the platform, or being on the platform of taking shelter, or being the shelter. So Krishna, he's a shelter of everyone, right? So therefore he can be called Nivas Bhuta. One of the names of Krishna is Jananivas. Jananivas means he's the shelter of all the living entities. Now, in this particular verse, he's said to be Nivasa Bhuta. He is the shelter of everyone. But who in particular is he the shelter of? He's the shelter of Sarva Jigan Nivas. Actually, Nivasa Bhuta in this particular verse means Devaki. She's the shelter of whom? Sarva Jigan Nivas. Jigan Nivas means the shelter of the universe. And Sarva Jigan Nivas means the shelter of all the universes. So who's the shelter of all the universes? Anyone? Who is the shelter of all the universes? Obvious answer. Mahavishnu. Yeah, that's true. There's actually you're right. When you look at the 64 qualities of Krishna, one of the qualities of Vishnu is Koti Brahmanda Vigraha. He's the Vigraha, the embodiment of innumerable universes, Brahmandas. So that's one of the qualities of Vishnu. So I was thinking, is it one of the qualities of Krishna or Vishnu? But obviously it's a quality of Krishna, but it's also a quality of Vishnu, because the four extra qualities that Krishna have are to do with the sweetness. So yes, Vishnu is the... But it's obvious because the picture's there, right? You see all the universes. I'm not that silly, actually. I'm just being philosophical, or trying to be. So anyway, So Sarva Jagannivas Vas means Krishna or Vishnu, but of course Vishnu is in Krishna. So he's the abode of all the universes. And Devaki, because he's holding Krishna in her womb, because she's holding Krishna in her womb, she is Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta. She's the shelter of the shelter of all the universes. And this verse is very interesting because it indicates that she is like a covered pot. When you got a flame, you put a pot around the flame, you can't see the brightness. And she's also compared to a learned person who does not distribute knowledge. Jnana Kala. Jnana Kala means a learned person does not distribute knowledge. So because she was in the house of Kamsa, although she's got the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, who is Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakara. Right? Krishna's like the sun and Maya's like darkness. But because she was in the house of Kamsa, she's like the flame is covered by the pot, or all the knowledge. And of course, Krishna's this personification of knowledge is covered. She cannot distribute it, you see, or Krishna or a learned person does not distribute knowledge. You don't know they're learned. So this is this very much connects with the mood of this verse, because Prabhupada's saying that the purpose of the holy people is just to give out pure knowledge. The person of God is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive activity, action, or utopian speculation. So there's no fruitive activity or utopian speculation in the dealings of the devotee. So and actually Sukadeva Goswami is mentioned in the purport. So there's a similar verse in regards to Sukadeva Goswami. Sago dohana matram hi griheshu griha medinam avekshati mahabhagas tirta kurvangs tarashramam. Sukadeva Goswami would spend only the time it took to milk a cow at any residence. And his purpose, tirta kurvan tarashramam, to purify the ashram. This is from the fourth chapter of the first canto. So you notice the difference, the similar word. Tirtha Kurvan means he's making the place a pilgrimage place. And we have in this verse today, Tirthi Kurvanti means to make into a tirtha. So everyone should actually memorize this verse. This is one of the famous verses, and if you created a shloka book with maybe 100 Bhagavatam verses, then this would be one of them. It's a very important verse. So it applies to the likes of Sukadeva Goswami. In this context, who's speaking to whom? Anyone know? What's the background to this? Who is glorifying whom? Anyone? Say again? Yes, Yudhisthira speaking, and Vidura is the Tirtha Bhuta. He is the personification, the personified Tirtha. You see? Now here's another example in the 10th canto, chapter 8. That is the meeting of Garga Muni and Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj, he's a Nitya Siddha, but he still glorifies the saints and feels purified by their existence, just like Krishna does. Krishna, when he was speaking to the sages at Kurukshetra, he was glorifying them for purifying the planet. So when Garga Muni came to meet Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj glorified him, because Garga Muni is a very elevated soul. He is, as an astrologer, he can see past, present, and future. He has knowledge that others don't have. He's very pure. And so Nanda Maharaj glorified Garga Muni. Mahad vichalanam rinam grihinam dinachetasam nishreyasaiva bhagavan kalpate nanyata kvachit. That the wanderings of great personalities like you is purely for the benefit of others. And the word used is nishreyasaya, for the benefit of others. It reminds me of two words that we often hear, shreya, shreyas and priyas. You know these two words? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he nicely says, devotional service is both shreyas and priyas, because we get to dance and chant and feast. It's really, really easy. And by doing so, we control our tongue, and then we become purified. You see? So shreyas means long-term welfare, and prayas means short-term welfare. So Prabhupada gives the example, child does not want to go to school, that's prayas. short term, no one wants to go to school. But the parent thinks, in terms of Shreyas, long-term benefit, the child should go to school. Remember, Prabhupada wouldn't go to school, right? Very difficult to bring Prabhupada to school. How did they manage it? I can't remember what they did. They probably bribed him. I can't remember now. It was very difficult to get Prabhupada to go to school. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So Nishreya Saiva means for the benefit of others. Give some other examples. Lord Shiva, he's another example of a selfless personality, a pure devotee. When he drank the poison, that was his selfless activity. He's purely doing it for the sake of others. So it's said in this connection, Tapyanti Lokatapena Sadava Prayasho Janaha Paramanadaram Tadi Purushashakilatmanaha. That the great personalities, they almost always perform austerities for the sake of others. And that is the highest way to worship the Lord. So that's a good lesson for all of us. If we really want to please the Lord, we want to worship the Lord to the greatest extent, then we should follow this example, that we should try and help others. Krishna's parts and parcels, they're very dear to Krishna. So if we get whatever knowledge we have, we shouldn't be like the Jnana Kala. Remember I mentioned talking about Devaki. She's compared to Jnana Kala because she, like a learned person who does not distribute knowledge because she was in the house of Kamsa. So we shouldn't be the Jnana Kala, we should be distributing. We distribute that knowledge, Jari Deka Tarakohai Krishna Padesh, Amaragyaya Guruhaya Tari Desh. Deliver everyone just by repeating what we know. And by doing so, that is the highest way to worship the Lord. In the eighth canto, it is also said, Pranai Svai Pranina Panti Sadava Kshanabanguraha Badavaireshu Bhuteshu Mohiteshvatmamayaya. The saintly persons, the sadhus, they use their body, kshana bangura, which is going to be destroyed in the course of time. It's very temporary, kamala dalajala, jivana talamala, very temporary, but they use that in the service of others. So at the moment, I'm actually really amazed at the sacrifice of many doctors now. You know, that many doctors in China, they've actually died because they were working round the clock to try and help people with the virus, and they got the virus, they died. The chief medical officer in Italy has also died. So we see that there's a great sacrifice that people do. When they may not be devotees of Krishna, but we see that they have a deep sense of duty and sacrifice to a cause outside of themselves. And we should respect and honour that, because let's face it, how many people are prepared to put their life on the line for the service of others? So we should really appreciate the deep sense of sacrifice that people make, not that we simply brand them as, oh, they're not devotees, they're just selfish, they're just sense enjoyers, etc. Because there is a certain degree of yajna that's going on. Ultimately, it has to be directed towards Krishna, of course, but we appreciate that. And even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, if you cannot perform devotional service, then sacrifice for a higher cause, the 12th chapter. So that's something that we can appreciate. We can pull together. We're all in this together regarding the virus. So we hope that the Hare Krishnas can do their bit to whatever we can to help others. We can distribute spiritual knowledge. We can pray for people, etc. And we can give good advice to people on how to protect themselves, etc. So that is, you know, this is an indication of a mundane reflection of the sadhu's heart. Because the sadhu is tapyanti lokatapena, simply for the benefit of others. We live for the benefit of others. That's a very, you know, it's a very elevated thing that we should strive for. And I'll give you another example. And this is to do with the pastime of Nala Kuvera, Manigriva, delivered by Krishna, or in his form as Damodar. So when they were these two demigods, who of course were the Yamala Arjuna trees, they were liberated, Krishna explained to them why they were liberated. We know the reason, right? It was due to the blessings, or the... Well, actually, it was a curse, but it was actually a blessing. The curse of Narad Muni, that they would be remember that Nala Kavera and Manigriva were shamelessly enjoying themselves naked with damsels, and Narad Muni walked past and they did not cover their bodies. They had no shame, and therefore he cursed them. But it was a blessing in disguise. So Narad Muni is one of those personalities who just moves throughout the universe, and he just gives blessings for no reason at all. You don't deserve it. No reason at all. So in this connection, Krishna was explaining this to Nala Kuvara and Manigriva. And he said, if I can remember now, it's a beautiful statement. Darshanan no bhaved bandach pumshokshno savaturyata. That when you see a saintly person, your bondage is immediately released, just as darkness vanishes when you're face to face with the sun. So you can imagine that. You see a sadhu, it's like coming in front of the sun. And often acharyas are sometimes referred to as the sun, like in a sun. The acharyas are very bright. If you actually go through the Prabhupada memories, you'll find so many accounts where devotees said, and not only devotees, non-devotees would say it too. When they saw Prabhupada, they would say, he's effulgent. You know, so many times there was an effulgence. And sometimes they would say it was a golden effulgence. One time he came to London and the devotees were seeing him and they were like saying his skin is like golden. It's amazing. It's not from this world. And there was one, he was even, I can't remember who it was, a policeman or he was a street sweeper. And he goes, from America, he's like, that man be glowing, that man be glowing. He saw Prabhupada and he started saying this. And the devotees, some of the devotees around were like, he can see something I can't see. But this man, he just had that vision, you know. Another thing about Prabhupada, I once went through the Prabhupada memories and I started to notice a pattern. So many devotees described their first meeting with Prabhupada. And they would say things like this, and when he looked at me, time stood still. And I felt almost ashamed. He was looking into me. He could see all my faults. But at the same time, I felt this love coming from his eyes, and he was accepting me for who I was. And you know, there's or other stories like when he looked at me, his eyes were so piercing I couldn't look back. And there's many examples like that. So I collected some of them and I put it on Facebook. And then someone lifted it from Facebook and then stuck it on Dandavats. They actually put my name on it. So now I sort of went to Dandavats and there's Govinda Das article, Unbearable Glance it's called. And it sometimes gets recycled because Pragosh Prabhu likes to recycle articles that have been maybe a year or two old. And then afterwards, I started looking at more Prabhupada memories from, so I have the DVD set, but then I noticed that they're also on YouTube. And some of the more newest ones are on YouTube. And then I discovered about another four or five examples of devotees saying exactly the same thing. Their first meeting of Prabhupada, how it felt, what it was like when he looked, how time stood still, how you felt like, this is my eternal spiritual master. I actually feel this is my eternal spiritual master. He knows me from birth after birth. Or like people were saying, I felt that Prabhupada could see all my previous lives like this. I mean, that's an amazing presence that Prabhupada had. And so many people, I think was it Buddha Hari? One devotee said, when he saw Prabhupada, he said, I realized this personality is so powerful. And then he thought, I hope he's good, because if someone bad is this powerful, that is a real problem. And then he realized, he's not only is he very powerful, but he's very good. So Prabhupada had a presence, and people would say, when I met Prabhupada, he was so small, but his presence was very, very big. And that is the nature of Prabhupada, because spirit ultimately trumps matter. It doesn't matter how small you are. Spiritually, what matters. And Prabhupada, oceanic smile, oceanic heart, big presence. So that is what it means to be a place of pilgrimage. He's a walking, a personified tirtha, a tirtha bhuta. That's what the sadhus are. And we should desperately hankered to have that association. And now, it's five minutes till prasadam, so thank you all for tolerating me. I only had a few hours to prepare last night, so my apologies. Didn't really do a good job. But thank you all, and any comments or corrections, please bring it on.